Most of what I'm sharing is not from a place of judgment. Whatever I'm going to share with you is usually, number one, based on scriptural principles. Number two, based on scientific facts. And the last is statistical facts. Number four. I like this one. It says, we don't need to check sexual compatibility. Point number four, we don't need to check sexual compatibility. Because many people tell me, they said, oh, you know, I need to check if we're sexually compatible. That's what they say. And, you know, and this is what people say when I want to sleep with someone. You know, maybe when a guy is trying to pressure a girl to have sex, or a girl is trying to pressure a guy to have sex, and they'll say things like, oh, you know, we can't get married if we don't check if we are both sexually compatible. Let's test our sexual compatibility. Let's check if we're sexually compatible. Well, the truth is that you really don't need to check sexual compatibility, because that's not how marriage works. They'll make the statement and say things like, oh, how can I buy a car when I have not test driven it? How can I buy a car that I didn't test drive? Well, the first thing you need to note is that human beings are not cars. Human beings have souls. It means that whatever you are testing is going to leave a more, you know, serious impact than just test driving a car. You are actually doing something to their soul. Remember the first point we mentioned today. So there is an impact in your soul. So human beings are not cars. That's number one. Number two, most of you that have listened to me over the years, you know, I've said it over and over again that I'm a car enthusiast and all that. I really love cars. And I when I travel, I go to check out cars. I go to car shows and go to car shops. Now, you know, when I found out you could test drive cars, I was really happy. So I used to go to every shop I could find, just go and test drive any of their best cars, you know, until I found out that it's not all cars that you can test drive. You know, I didn't know that before. But it's not all cars you can test drive. There are some certain cars, it has been tested already. You can't test drive it. You either buy it or you don't buy it. I didn't know that. So when I enter, for instance, like a Ferrari shop, a Ferrari store, I mean, they put it boldly on the cars. Do not touch. Not test drive, touch. How much more? A car that you can't touch, how can you test drive it? You see, because of the value they have placed on the car, they put do not touch. There are some men watching me or some women watching me. You need to put do not touch on your body. You need to buy that t-shirt or put that sticker. Do not touch. Because of the value, they write it there, do not touch except you are assisted by one of the attendants. You can't touch it. They don't test drive those cars. They don't even let you sit in it. You just look at it and decide if it's the kind of thing you want or not. Do not touch. So you don't test drive all cars. You don't test drive all cars. I shared the story, you know, a while ago when I went for a car show. And I was, you know, in a car show, everybody's there to exhibit their car. So I was going into all the cars, sitting down, testing them, put it on, different things. I was enjoying myself, all the cars. Then I got to where they were exhibiting Maybach. The Maybach is like the luxurious Mercedes-Benz. So I got there and I said, oh, I wanted to enter the place to go. And they stopped me. They said, you can't go in. I said, why? It's not a car show. We're here to check it out. They said, no. They said, this segment, this section is strictly by invitation. Strictly by invitation. They say you can't even go near it. I mean not even touch. I can't go near where the car is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because they call the value of the car. They say strictly by invitation. That means this particular display, they have people they are expecting. It's not everybody that should even look at it. You see, as a human being, if human beings can value a car that much and protect it, a car that is here today and not here and not here tomorrow, how much more you that God created? You have more value than any car in this world. You have a soul and you will live forever. So it's not all cars you test drive. And thirdly, let's even imagine test driving is the way to go. So the question now arises, how many cars will you test drive? How many human beings will you test? So if you test Mr. A today, it's not great. You test again Mr. B. You test Mr. C. So eventually, how many are you going to test? And once that happens, people will just be coming for testing. I don't know if you have done that before. Those of you that are Nigerians, there's something called suya. I don't know if, you know, in case you're not in Nigeria and you're watching this, but most of us Nigerians know what's called suya. In those days, I don't know if they still do it now, but in those days, this is what I sell. It's called steak. You know, it's like our own steak here. So they barbecue those pieces of meat and put it on whatever. And if you want to buy, sometimes they allow you to taste it. So what some boys do is that they go from spot to spot just tasting. That's their journey for the day. They're not buying anywhere. So they can even carry what they're going to eat with the suya. So as they're tasting it, they eat with their bread. They are eating that day by tasting round. Because once you are available for tasting or for testing, there are people that are just going to visit just to taste and test. So how many are you going to test? So it's not a scriptural order. It doesn't even make sense to say we are testing each other for sexual compatibility. So how many are you going to test? That's never the way to go. Sexual compatibility is not something that is discovered. It is something that is developed. I'll say that again. Sexual compatibility is not something that is discovered. It is something that is developed. In other words, you're not going to keep testing people till you find somebody you are compatible with. What you're going to do is to develop it by both of you listening, exploring, and being committed to pleasing each other. All right? Listening, exploring, and being committed to satisfying each other. That's how sexual compatibility comes. It's not discovered by fluke. You can become it by learning to listen to your partner. What do they like? What do they want? What do they enjoy? Exploring it together. In fact, the way God did it, you have your whole life to explore. Some people get quickly tired in their marriage sexually because they have finished the honey before even the honeymoon. They have finished the honey before the honeymoon. So you have your whole life to explore. So start gradually. Listen, explore, and satisfy your partner. You have your whole life to do it. All right, very important. So there's nothing like sexual compatibility. It is not actually discovered. It is developed. All right, very important. It is developed. I remember, talking about cars. My friend gave me an advice, I build cars sometimes. All right, so I just see a car, I build it. I actually drive one of those cars now. It's a truck. It's an F-150 Platinum truck. I'm a car guy. I've told you that already. So I build cars. So if I see a car, I take the ordinary car the way it is and I build it, put tires, put wheels. So I build cars. So there's a car I built and I'm trying to sell it, So it has been in the market and all that. And at different times, different people say, want to see the car here, want to see the car here. So one day, one of my friends that is a car dealer, he's a very experienced car person, he said, hey, stop taking your car to people that want to see it. Anybody that wants to buy your car, if he's really serious, he will come and see the car. That's how you know. The guy just sitting at home that wants to bring the car to him, it's not serious. And truly, all the people taking cars, they didn't buy it. He said, the people that really want to buy it, they will not mind coming. And he said, I wish women can learn that. The people that really want to marry you, they were willing to go the full length. Anybody that is too lazy to stress himself for you doesn't want to marry you. He said, when you take your cars about to people to check it out, instead of leaving it in the car lot or leaving it wherever it's being displayed, he said, the problem with that is that, number one, the value always drops when you take the car to the buyer. I didn't know that. I'm not a car dealer. He's an experienced. I said, the value never remains the same. If in your showroom you are saying the car is $10,000, for instance, and you take it to meet someone, the guy can say, it's $8,000 I want to pay. You see, you brought it. And I discovered the big car dealers never take their car. You don't see Rolls Royce taking their cars to people and knocking at their door and saying, we have a Rolls Royce, you want to check it out? They don't do that. You will come to the store. By the way, you see how the store is arranged. Even if you are not thinking of respecting yourself before, when you get there and you see the way everybody is there, you will respect yourself. Something will just tell you, behave yourself if you know you don't want to be kicked out of here. So I've seen that happen. He says, number one, the value will drop. He says, number two, if you keep taking your car out, it never returns the same because there's wear and tear. And I wish many human beings can understand that. As you keep going around like that, you never remain the same. Your value is dropping. People are making different impressions inside you. Somebody will hurt you. Somebody will abuse you. Somebody will disrespect you. So you are coming with different hurt. And like we say it in relationship counseling, you say you are punishing your next for the crimes of your ex. You're punishing your next for the crimes of your ex because you've been so hot. By the time you meet the next person, you are already suspicious of everything they are doing. All right? Very important. now we're here at point number 5. I hope this has been worth it for you so far. I hope you're enjoying this. If you have not subscribed to my YouTube channel, subscribe right now. All right, point number 5. It hurts everyone. One of the things people out there would like to make you believe is that, hey, you just having sex with one person or you having sex with anybody you like, it's not going to hurt anybody. You see, that's the philosophy the world has about everything. That as long as you're not hurting someone, there's nothing wrong with it. Well, sex hurts everyone. Because some people say it doesn't hurt anyone. Oh, it hurts everyone. That simple act of sexual intercourse, not having sexual control, it hurts everyone. And I'll break it down to you as we go today. It hurts everyone. When we don't teach young people on time how their sexuality works, because people don't really like to talk about these kind of things. Our parents are too shy, our mates are too ignorant. So we don't want to talk about it. But if we need to teach young people on time that, hey, this is how your sexual urge will go. There's a point you will hit a very high peak in your sexual urge. Most young guys, you know, just stumble into that. So that's when they move into pornography, move into masturbation, move into things like that. Because the sexual urge come, the flow of testosterone became heavy, you know, as they were hitting puberty. They could not control it. In fact, scientifically, they said that point is really as high as anything that, I mean, the guy's academic can drop. He can go through something similar to a brain damage at that point. What it means is that, you know, he becomes so aloof, so obsessed with sex. The energy flowing inside him is more than what he can handle. That's when he will start having things like wet dreams and all that. And it's just a natural phenomenon. But nobody is going to talk to him about it because everybody's shy about it. Nobody wants to talk to him about it. So he looks for his own way of expressing it. And it becomes a danger to himself. He begins to build habits at that point that will follow him even after he has become mature. He's going to start dealing with those habits he built when he was immature, because nobody addressed it. Same thing with the girls. The girls have a flow of something called estrogen. It's what makes women feminine and all that. As they get that flow, they become hungry for emotional connection. Because nobody also talks to them, they find out, they now start noticing boys. And it's very interesting. When kids are under 10 and under 11 and all that, they've not hit puberty or anything yet, they see boys as themselves. So they are not ashamed to take off their shirts with boys. They're not afraid to play with boys. They just see they're all equal. Once those two chemicals start flowing, the whole world changes. They see the world from a different point of view. The girls become more feminine. They start, you know, bringing out shape and everything everywhere. The boys become more masculine. Their voices change. Their chests come out. You know, all those things. They now start to try to impress each other. Attraction starts. However, that's not necessarily the time to have sexual intercourse. But because nobody's talking to them, the only way they know how to express it is by going ahead to have intercourse. And now this is what happens. Most times, the girls are not necessarily interested in sex at that age. What they are interested in is relationship love, because that's the flow they are getting. That estrogen pushes them for that. The boys are not interested in love. They're interested in sex. Nobody's talking to them. So what do they do? The boys trade love to get sex, and the girls trade sex to get love. So we have many broken people. By the time they are ready for marriage, they've had too many bad experiences that now affects who they are in marriage. So it does affect people. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It affects people. I'll give you more and more stats to this. All right. When people don't have controlled sexual urges, that is where they start, you know, looking for how to express it illegally, you know, and the abuse comes. That's where abuse comes from. I've had to counsel a lot of young people that were abused by, you know, their drivers, their uncles, their dads sometimes. You know, it's a lack of sexual control. You know, we say it doesn't hurt anybody. It does. Everybody needs to be able to manage their sexuality because it does hurt people. It does hurt people. That's where sexual abuse comes from, rape and all that. Lack of sexual control. In places like India, they have a massive issue with sexual abuse, with rape. If you watch the news, you see that. Massive. You see 5 people, 6 people will rape a little girl together. I mean, I don't even know how they discuss it. But, and it's everywhere, it's not just, it's different parts of the world. It's a lack of sexual abuse. So it hurts people, that's what I'm trying to say. It hurts people. Let me give you some more facts. Sexual immorality also affects satisfaction in marriage. It affects sexual satisfaction in marriage. Because once you are heavily involved with sex before marriage, with different people, by the time you get into marriage, there's a high chance you are not going to be, you know, at the same level of that person you are getting married to. There's no, okay, let me paint a picture. You have dated 5 different men. Let's paint a picture. I'm using women as an example. You have dated 5 different men. So the first guy you dated was a good kisser. The second guy you dated was good at foreplay. The third one you dated was good at sex. The fifth one were good at other things. And you've dated these 5 men. Then you now marry one guy. He can never be like 5 men. So you have developed appetites and tastes that this person you have married can never fulfill. So I've had many married people come and meet me and say, Pastor, I'm not sexually satisfied in my marriage. And I ask them, compared to what? Compared to what? Because how do you know you're not sexually satisfied? If it's not that you're comparing it to something. I told you earlier on that they said this connection with your ex is worse when he's your first, when he was your best, or when he was your most intimate. Sometimes same person is all these 3 things. It's where it becomes a challenge. So it affects sexual satisfaction in marriage. But next point, it also affects relationships in your life. You say it hurts no one. It does. Because when you have sex with someone, the breakup is usually never clean anymore. Because both of you feel you've invested, or one party feel they've invested more than they were willing to invest just for a casual relationship. Meanwhile, the other person is aware this was a casual relationship. So that somebody feels cheated. And usually that relationship can't continue. Especially when it's somebody close, a family friend, your friend's brother, your friend's sister, relationships, or your boss, your colleague. So those relationships now become affected. I actually canceled someone, and I've canceled people over the years that have had things like this. They've slept with someone, now they want to marry the person's cousin, and they can't go ahead because of the sexual relationship they had with that person. Or they want to marry somebody's brother, they want to marry somebody's cousin, somebody's friend. You know, you have dated one friend and now, you know, you slept with him, but the relationship didn't go anywhere. Now you've met his own friend that you guys connect better emotionally, but you are wondering, how can I? And I've seen these stories over and over, it play out. But at the time you were just sleeping, having a casual dating with this guy, you never knew you want to marry his cousin or his friend or something. It affects people. That's what I'm saying. Let's move a bit further to STDs. People say, oh, sex doesn't affect anybody. But what are the statistics for sexually transmitted diseases? They call it STDs, some people call it STIs, sexually transmitted infections, whatever. The point is that diseases are spread largely by this casual sex, you know, behavior. Let me read some stats to you. As at 2018, now we're in 2020 as the time of this video, but this stat says, as of 2018, 38 million people have HIV. 38 million. That's bigger than some countries. In fact, that's bigger than a lot of countries. 38 million people are infected with HIV. 38 million. And most of these things are spread by casual sex. Nobody gets hot. That's not true. Everybody's getting hot. And they said of these 38 million, about 1.7 million are kids. Most of them inherited it. 1.7 million are kids. They also still said another 1.7 million get infected every year. Get infected every year. And now HIV is just one of the many STDs. There are many of them. There are some that are undetectable. Some that it goes for years without being detected. And these things affect childbearing. There are some children that are born with diseases that are linked to their parents being infected by an STD. It affects the child that is unborn. So you say nobody is getting hot. No, people are getting hot. I can give you more and more stats. Let's move forward. Let me give you stats in terms of unwanted pregnancies. You know, people say nobody's getting hot. Wow. Just recently in my country, Nigeria, they found a baby by a dumpster. In fact, that happens a lot in Nigeria. But recently there was another case like that. They found a baby in a dustbin, literally. And they had to bring that baby out and resuscitate it, and it's alive today. Somebody had sex and wasn't willing to face the consequences of the sex. But people say, oh, it doesn't matter, it's just sex. No, people are being affected. Nobody's telling you the truth. And that's why we're doing this one. No, what nobody tells you about sex. And I'm here to tell you about sex. There are always consequences. Unwanted pregnancies. Unwanted pregnancies. Babies are dropped at doorstep, dropped in dustbins almost every day. Because somebody is having sex and is not ready to be responsible for that action. We did the study on abortions. You know, the study said from 1970 to 2017 that about 40 million babies have been aborted in America alone, United States alone. Now, this is not the whole world. This is just United States alone. About 40 million babies have been aborted from 1970 to 2017 or thereabout. 40 million. The whole of Ghana is 31 million. The whole of Ghana is 31 million. Literally aborted Ghana with some change, with some 7 million people change. The whole of Ghana has been aborted, literally. And that country, and that generation have been aborted because of premarital sex, basically. And you say nobody's getting hurt? Of course, people are getting hurt. People are getting hurt. You can't say nobody's getting hurt. That's the amount of abortion. Now, we're currently going through a pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic and all that. In America so far, just about a little over 100,000 people have died because of this pandemic. And everybody's shouting, but I'm not shouting because America aborts over 1 million babies every year. In other words, sex is killing more people than COVID-19. But we're not doing social distancing with sex. We ought to be social distancing with sex if we're really concerned about people dying, because there are people dying that we're not talking about. More people have died by sex in terms of abortions than by COVID-19. I can give you more and more, but I don't want to bore you with that. Then unwanted pregnancies also leads to children that are growing in single-parent homes. Now, statistically again, they found out that when a child grows in a home where there is no father, in fact, there are many videos out there of some men that have 10, 12 children with different women, and they can't father, they are not married to any of these women. So all these kids are growing up in homes without fathers. And statistically, they found out that a large number of people in prison grew up in homes without fathers. Maybe about 60 or 70%, I can't remember. But the stats goes on and on about the impact of homes without a father or single-parent homes, because it also affects when you don't grow up with your mother too. Those things affect, because in God's original plan, he wanted them to grow up a husband and wife. And I want to use this point to also appreciate all the single moms out there holding it down alone. You know, God sees you. God sees your struggle. God sees the hard work you're putting in. And I believe God will bless you, you know, by your kids growing up to be all you want them to be. And by God even blessing you with a good man or a good woman, whoever, you know, whether you're a single husband too. The point is that, you know, that's not God's best. And God wants to, you know, bless you. You know, but you need to understand that these things happen. It does happen. There's impact. Let me go on. It also impacts divorce rates. It impacts divorce rates. Because people are saying, oh, you know, there's no big deal. No, it impacts divorce rates. They found out that a lot of infidelity, in fact, they said about 20 to 40% of divorces are linked to infidelity. About 20 to 40%. So when you are saying nobody's hurt, no, people are going to be hurt. People are going to be hurt. Because when you build that lifestyle and you go into marriage and you continue that lifestyle, a lot of the divorces, 20 to 40%, is linked to infidelity. It impacts also your life. It impacts your success in life. Many people don't know this one. I wish I could read. Let me see if I can read the scripture. It impacts the outcome of your life. Because people tell me all the time, oh, but pastor, I know this person that is successful. I know this person that is successful and they sleep around. They have many baby mamas. They are successful. I say, well, you have to wait for the story to end. You can't judge the movie in the middle of the movie. You have to wait for the end of the story. And unfortunately, we have many people that have ended the story and we have seen how they've ended. Go and check statistically those men that had many wives or had many children, when they die, also check how things will play out. Check the world war that happens. Check how many of those kids are able to succeed at the level that man succeeded. Check how whether they are scarred by that lifestyle. Go and check the statistics. I'm a counselor. This is what I face every day. But you go check it out. Look around you. It impacts the outcome of your life when you can't control what's happening sexually, because you have children everywhere. It becomes a war situation. You have many wives everywhere. It becomes a war situation. Let's see the scripture. You know, Proverbs chapter 6 from verse 25. It said, "Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids." Mm-hmm. It says, "For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread." It means it reduces that man. It says, "And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life." Next verse. It says, "Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned?" It said, "Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" It says, "So is he that goeth into his neighbor's wife. Whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent." Next verse. It said, "But whosoever committed adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul." You know, it literally hurts people. It hurts people. I can give you story upon story, either biblical stories or even, you know, statistical stories in the world that we all live. We've seen presidents lose their position because of sexual immorality. As in, president of a full country had to, you know, step down or be impeached because of sex. We've seen big business owners have to lose their businesses because of sex. We've seen